home now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here, that you are in our midst. Where two or three are gathered, you are in the middle of us. And Lord God, we come now to seek you, to seek your heart, to seek your word. Holy Spirit, I want to pray now that you'd lead me and guide me and help me know what to say this morning and what to hold back. Lord, I don't want to say anything that doesn't come from you this day, because Lord, this is too important. Lord, for this to be about me, this needs to all be about you. Lord, help us hear your word this morning and receive it with your love and your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lots of things have been stirring in me over the last month or so, and particularly over the Christmas period where I've had some time out. And this morning my message is entitled, Heart for the House. And that is a lovely little doodle there that I have done for you to help you focus this morning in my very bad handwriting. Heart for the House. Because as I've been mulling over things in these last few weeks, and been pondering over what to be speaking about at the beginning of January, and taking maybe through to Lent, I've had all sorts of ideas come to my mind and to my head. I've been very confused about where to go and what to do, but this phrase has kept coming back to me. Heart for the house. Heart for the house. And so this morning, we're going to start something, and I have no idea when it will finish, whether it will be this week, next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We're going to let God lead us and guide us through this. But I believe God wants to speak to us about church and about our house, about his heart for it. You see, when I was about 16, 17, I read a passage of scripture which I'd read thousands of times before, but suddenly it was one of those moments when you got it. Have you had that moment when you read a passage of scripture and you've read it 1,000 times and you come to it again and you go, how have I missed that? I've read it so many times. And the passage that clicked with me when I was about 16, 17, I can't remember the exact point in time, I was reading Acts, read chapter 2, and got to verse 42, and read these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I suddenly had this epiphany moment when I went, oh, church is more important than I had given it credit for. And the reason I hadn't given church much credit was because the church that I was part of didn't look much like Acts chapter 2. And I'm sure we've all had that moment when we've read Acts chapter 2 and gone, that's a lovely idea. I wish our church was like that. And something stirred in my spirit which changed the whole direction of my life. To the point where I'm doing now what I'm doing. Because God birthed in me a passion for his church. And there's a lot of teaching, a lot of books, a lot of writings currently around which sort of talk about throw away church. Church isn't important. It's about your personal walk and journey with God. And yes, the Christian life is about your personal walk with God. But it's not meant to be on your own. It's meant to be in fellowship with other people. And God's church is his vehicle for the Christian life to be supported and to be all that it can be and all that it should be. See, you can't achieve on your own what you could achieve as part of a fellowship with God. You'll be able to do amazing things. God says he's able to do abundantly above anything we can ask or imagine according to Christ at work within us. We can do amazing things for God on our own, but we can do phenomenal things for God together. And I read that passage and I thought, oh, the reason why I've had an angst against church is that church isn't what church could be or what church should be. And I talk to lots of people who go, well, it's a nice idea, Pete. It's lovely, isn't it? It's lovely it's in the Bible. It's a nice passage, but it's not very practical. And I was like, as a young person of 17, going, excuse me, it's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it's God's plan, it's God's purpose. It must be possible with him. Because if it's not possible, it wouldn't be in the Word of God. Now, lots of people have tried ways to try and live Acts chapter 2 by doing house church or doing this type of church or this type of church. And actually, I don't think that the church that we have is far from what that could be. But we need to get an understanding of something really important. Because when I read that passage, what you suddenly see is that God's heart is in it. God's heart is there. Now, to understand the importance and significance of that phrase, we need to backtrack to the Old Testament. And we need to go, if you've got your Bibles, you want to open them to Chronicles. And Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 22. And David in verse 5 says, "And the house to be built to the Lord should be great, magnificent, fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations." That's what David's heart was for the house of God. To be a place of magnificence, a place of splendor. Jump forward to the New Testament where it talks about the church being like a city shining on a hill. Something that the whole nations would see. Something magnificent, something of splendor. A light that can't be hidden. It's like a city shining on a hill. It can't be hid away. So David says that the temple of God is going to be the house of God. And then we get to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16, or you can go to 1 Kings 9, verse 3, and you have the same passage which appears, which is the consecration of the temple of God. And here's the words that God speaks over the house of God. "I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." In another translation, it says, my heart is in it and my eyes are perpetually on it. God was saying, I'm going to put my heart where the people of God meet together. The whole point of the temple is to have a focal point to draw all the Jews together in worship and praise to God. And even when they're spread across the whole Roman Empire in the New Testament, what we see is that every major feast, all the Jews were required to come to Jerusalem for Passover and for Pentecost and for the other feasts that were going on. There were three major feasts that they had to come to. And the temple was the place of drawing the people of God together. See, when the people of God are drawn together, God's heart is in it and God's eyes are on it. Let's jump forward to the New Testament and read Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 15. Paul says this, "If I am delayed, you will know how the people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth." You see, if God's heart and his eyes were meant to be in the temple and on the temple perpetually, if we read it literally like that, well, the problem with that is that the temple was destroyed twice. So how can God's heart be perpetually in and focusing upon a location in Israel where currently an Islamic symbol stands? See, it's not talking about the physical bricks and mortar of the temple. What God was trying to get his people to understand is that where his people meet together, that's where his heart is. And that's where his focus is. The church is the household of the living God. And we need to have understanding that when we come together, this is where God's heart is. This is where God's vision is. Church isn't something which is a pain in the backside, which I go to on Sunday because it really annoys me, but I ought to go begrudgingly. We come to church because it's the place where God's heart dwells. Where two or three are gathered, Christ is in the midst. That in the fellowship of saints, God's heart becomes evident. That's where God's focus is. God doesn't save you to walk the Christian life, which is really hard, on your own. His plan and his purpose is for you to walk together with other people, other saints of God, so that actually you can understand the heart of God. When you feel far away from God, there's other people who say, here's the heart of God for you. God still loves you. No matter how far you think you've gone, God still loves you. No matter how, whatever you think you've done which separates you from God, God still loves you. You see, Jesus said he came to build his church. And he says to Peter, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, the temple was destroyed several times. The people of God were dispersed several times. But the message of God continually happens wherever the saints of God meet. Wherever the people of God come to be, there is a heart for God, and there becomes a vision of God. This is why fellowship is so important. Now, I'm not saying that the institutional church, which we've lived in for 2,000 years, has always got it right, because it hasn't. And there's been people in the church who have used it for their own gain, their own benefit, to make a name for themselves, to make money, and have treated the church of God in a horrific way. But the church is still happening. But the church still continues. It hasn't stopped. And it is one of the most fastest growing movements in all of history and the world. And whatever happens in the churches, the more it's persecuted, the more it grows. And I love that. That when you go out to places like China or Korea and different places like that, or when you talk about Open Doors and you look at their literature of the persecuted church, you see how rapidly it's growing. Because where there's a heart of God, you can't stop it. Because God's heart is always in it, and his vision is always perpetually upon it. See, church is really important. Because it's the embassy of God's kingdom on earth. And when we walk outside of these doors, we go into the world to share the greatness of God's kingdom. But we come back together to be refreshed, to be inspired, to share with each other the love that God has for each other. We come together to be the body of Christ, to experience him in the tangible presence of each other. When I'm feeling really down and really blue, I love coming to church. Because I'm with my family. I'm with the people who hopefully care about me. The people who want the best for me in my life. I love going to church. I love meeting together with people in this church. Because we're family together. And we need to get more serious about church. We need to get more serious. This isn't something we just come to and something we do. This isn't something that we come to and get a little bit annoyed about and go, actually, I'll avoid that group of people. I don't really get on with them. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. We've got to start getting serious about loving each other seriously. We've got to get serious about living out the word of God in our fellowship. 8 months ago, at the very first prayer meeting I came to, the prayer breakfast, God said something to me very specifically. I think I shared it at the time. And the words were, get the house in order. Simple as that. Get the house in order. Why? Because when the house of God is functioning as the house of God should, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Do you understand that? That when we are living as God would have us live, it's easy for God to add people to our number because he can trust us with it. He knows that he can bring them into the heart, into his heart in this place. Yardley Baptist Church is here and it's God's church in this place for this time, this season. And God wants to speak to us as a church about what we should be doing, where we should be going. He wants to rebuke us and commend us. When we read Revelation chapter 2, Christ speaks to the churches. He says, to my church, he says, I know you. How heartening it is to know that God knows us. And he says, I commend you for this, but I condemn you for this. Think about what you're doing. Don't be backslidden as a church. Don't be lukewarm as a church. Be passionate for the heart of God. If we can't serve each other's needs in this house, how are we going to serve the needs of our community? If we can't do it in here, amongst us, how are we ever going to change the world outside? It doesn't mean say we become insular and only self-focused. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we can't do it here, if we can't even be bothered to meet up and catch up with people who we don't find maybe the easiest person to get on with, but actually might be worth making that connection to be in love with each other, how are we going to change the world? How are we going to connect with the world out there? We've got to stop playing at church and start being the church. Because this is where God's heart is. This is where his focus is. And he gave us the church as the place, as the hub from which the mission of God goes out. And the mission of God only happens in community. Whenever we see Jesus sending out the disciples, when he sends out the 12 and when he sends out the 72, he sends them out in pairs. Because it says in Ecclesiastes, two is better than one. Because when one falls, the other can pick them up. The whole point of being the body of Christ and the community of saints is on our own, we can do something, but together we can do something as a movement. We can change the world in which we live. Because when one of us falls and gets tired and weary, the others are there to pick us up. When one of us has a problem or a need, we can all be there to help provide for that need. When someone needs a touch from God, we can be the people who say, I believe God can touch you, so we'll pray with you and believe God's word is true. It says in, let me just go to Psalm 27, verse 4. David says this, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this I would seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. They were saying, I want to be in the place where God's heart is. I want to be in the house of God. And if we look at Psalm 92, verses 12 to 13, I love these verses. It says, the righteous will flourish like the palm tree. Now, something you need to know about the palm tree is that when you watch on the news the hurricanes that happen over in the Caribbean and over in the American coast, what you'll notice is that you'll see fire trucks have been pushed across the road. You'll see boats that have been lifted out of the water and put onto dry land. And yet the palm trees, they bend quite a lot, but they're still there. The palm tree is used as an illustration that we need to think about. Something which is rooted, something which is planted, which even the worst storms can't uproot. And so it goes on to say, the righteous will flourish like the palm tree. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. See, when you plant yourself in a church, it gives you a root and a foundation that when the storms of life come, because they always come, life is not straightforward or easy. The Bible never says it is. When the storms of life come, you are rooted into something, which when the winds blow, you might bend, you might flex, but you won't be uprooted and you won't break. And it says when you're rooted in the house of God, there you will flourish. And there you will still, even in old age, produce fruit. Amen to that one. So for those of you in the congregation who class yourself as old, whoever that might be, don't want to name any names. If you write yourself off because of your age, that's stupid. Because the Bible says when you're rooted in the house of God, you will still bear fruit even in your old age. So being rooted in church is crucial for us to flourish as disciples of God. And if we're flourishing as disciples of God, we can then share that with the world. See, the church is the place where God's heart is in it and God's eyes are on it. So when we gather together, it's not we don't... Steve prayed this morning before we were... before the service. And he prayed it not knowing what I was going to speak on today. And he just said, we haven't got to pray for God to turn up because he's already here. And I was like, amen. Because it's true. When we meet together, God's heart is in this. And his eyes are on it. So church is the way that God has ordained for the mission of God to be outworked in the world. If we can't get it right in here, as people who are hopefully... are people following Jesus? How are we going to show the world what it's like? And it says in Scripture that by the love that you have for each other, so the world will know the love God has for the world. So as I've said before, we've got to start taking church seriously. We've got to start becoming a church which is a good, solid foundation for each other. Where we start loving each other with the way that God would have us love each other. So that we can get this house in order. So that God's heart shines through it. So that we can show the world out there who God truly is. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to pray that you'd help us take church more seriously. That, Lord, we would see that this is your heart. That, Lord, you say, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That the church is called the body of Christ. Because when we are in Christ, we are the hands and the feet to this world. But, Lord, we're also the hands and feet to each other. To administer your grace, your provision and your love. Lord, help us be church. Help us read Scripture and see what your church is supposed to be. And Lord, help us strive towards that ideal, knowing that in our humanness, sometimes we will fail. But Lord, give us the grace to live with each other and to share life with one another so that we can share life and your heart with this world. Amen.